Okay, don't stop. V'aya ekev tishmeru. Ekev is as to say it's the heel. And what's the idea? Is first of all, the Torah wants to give us a few things, clues about how to behave. We have a lot of mitzvahs that we do every day. And since we do them every day, we, you know, a little... don't care so much about it. Like, we do it, like, we welcome the morning, Modeh Ani Lefanecha, like, praying, like, somebody who says Tehillim every day, and all those small things. Or, if you do a blessing on a bracha on something, okay, and you drink, and... says the Torah, if you want to be blessed, make sure that those mitzvahs that are so much around us, and normally you just go on them, walk on them with your heel, those are the most important mitzvahs. Why? Because in nature, everything that you have plenty and doesn't cost a lot doesn't mean it's not precious. On the contrary, it's more precious than all the precious stones in the world. In other words, the cost of the item doesn't make it important or less important. You know, diamonds are very expensive. Do we need them?
No.
Can we live without them?
Yes.
Of course. Air, water is very cheap. Everywhere. Can we live without it? In other words, the things that are every day and all the time, those are the most important things. But because we're used to it, like, I don't know if you saw people at the davening, you know, that sometimes you are amazed, you know, I don't know, you start saying what's written and they finished already.
Yeah.
And now you cannot understand, you know, you're a quick reader, you know, it's unbelievable.
I said to my son once, how do they know what they, you know, how can you move your mouth that fast? So he does, he knows it. He so showed me how. I said, but do they know what they're saying? That's something else.
I tell
you. When I say, Vanachnu Korim, they finish.
Yeah? And you see, the point is that that's one of the things we're talking here. Those mitzvahs that we do every day, stop for a minute. If you do them every day, it means that they are important. So try. I'm not saying, okay, now you start davening for, instead of 20 minutes, 2 hours.
No.
But put something in it. You know, I always remember when I really understood what it's all about. We had one somebody replacing the guy that teaches us the Daf HaYomi in the Gemara. And this guy came and he was in a rush. So we learned the Daf, and at that time there was a minhag that after you finish the Daf of the Gemara, you learn an halacha. And he already was on his way out, and then he remembered that we have to learn the halacha. So he came back and he was standing like this, 1 foot on the chair, opening the book. You should do this. Oh, we know this. And you should do, oh, we know also this. Okay, bye bye. I said, oh, now I understand how they do this quick davening. He looks in Ashre Yoshvei Vetecha. Ashre Yoshvei Vetecha. Oh, we know this. Lo'olam, hallelujah. Finished. Aleinu Shabach. Ooh, every say 3 times a day. Aleinu, well, you know it. Al kene kaveh lecha. Bayom ha'u Yashem echad u'shmo echad. Finished. But that's not the way we should do it.
The way they do it.
And that's unfortunately, that's what's happening. You know, and sometimes if you... You know, now, for example, we have in one of the minions, we have a very quick chazan. Isn't it the year of Avelo?
No.
It's like they say that the Rav Badi Yosef Zatzal once said to a guy that was supposed to daven in front of the... because it was in his year of Avel. So the Rav Badi Yosef told him, God make you an orphan, not a chazan. You know, people go, you don't have to be a chazan if you don't know. Now, you look at it, and sometimes, you know, he's davening so quickly, and nobody talks about it. Nobody cares. From the other side, if once you have somebody who's davening slowly, hey, people,
Yes.
You know, once I couldn't, I got very aggravated because the Rebbe, Ishon, was davening, and when he davens, you wait for till he finishes Shema Yisrael or Shmoneh Esrei. And he was standing in Shmoneh Esrei, and a guy lost his patience and was starting banging on the table. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, to what level did we get? The Rav didn't finish. And I talked about it after the tefillah. I says, there is a limit, you know. When a chazan waits for the Rav, how dare anybody? And,
what the answer he gave you?
No, I didn't talk to him. I said it in front of everybody. I didn't say who it was. I didn't want to insult him, but I wanted to pass the message to everybody, not to him. I didn't have anything personally with him. And I hope that they understood the message. But the thing is that this is Eke.
He said he loved when the rabbi comes, because then he knows that he can die.
Yeah, I also, you know, I asked him once. When I was davening in the minion, the 7th 15 minion, and the Rav Ishon was coming here and there, and one day says, you know, I'm talking about he, like, people have to wait. If you ask me, I would appreciate it very much if you come as much as you can, because at least you stop a little this running. Yeah. Because now they have to wait on Shema, and they have to wait on Shmoneh Esrei. So at least, you know, it's slowing down a little this rush. Anyway, this is Ekev Tishmo.
How these Faradim has time, they have time to daven so slowly.
You know, it's a matter of getting used to things. You know, if you are used to daven in a rush, that's the problem. If you're used to daven shachrit in 20 minutes, if somebody will daven for 30 minutes, you get crazy. But if you're used to daven shachrit for 40 minutes, you're used to it. So you know, that's what it is. You know, it's like a lot of things in life. You know, we get used to, for example, in the old times, to do a wash was a whole procedure, and people did it. They didn't cry about it. Today, you give somebody to do the washing the way your grandparents did. Who would even take it on? Oh, preparing food. You know, to put it in the micro. 60 seconds. It's hot. And people's got no patience. Nobody's got patience. Everything is so quickly, and nobody's got patience. Nobody got time. Everything is much easier, and nobody got time. In other words, we are getting used to things.
Yeah.
So I personally, I also don't like long davening. I don't like long davening because, you know, it's when you're dragging it, then you lose the kavana. You cannot, like, we are human beings, and we are involved in so many things during the day. So it's very hard for us to daven in kavana for a long time. And by the way, this is one of the answers I got
of
a rabbi. A rabbi that was davening quite quickly, and his idea was, and there is an idea like this. I daven quickly because I don't want Yetzer Hara to interfere, and if I start doing it slowly, Yetzer Hara will have time to go into the tefillah. So I said, okay, you know, I agree with you,
but
everything we say in Hebrew. Yesh gvul lekol ta'alul. There is a limit to everything. You know, at the end of the day, you have to read what's written and you have to understand what it's all about. So, davening quick doesn't mean, that's not davening. Davening quick is daven, don't let Yetzer Hara go in. So, you daven and you don't stop in the middle. So, Yetzer Hara can go in. But everybody tries to do it in his own way. But what I'm saying is that a shliach tzibur has to, because it's the shliach of the tzibur, of the whole congregation, he has to do it with the congregation. He's not by himself. This is a sample of ekev. There are a lot of other things. As I said, blessing. You drink something and you do the blessing, shakol ni'abit vama. You know, this is a great blessing. A great blessing. How do we do it? We don't even listen to what we say. And this is terrible. Because this is very important blessing. We are blessing God that He did everything in this world and thanking Him for it. And you know, if we start thinking about it, we also feel much better. Because when you do things with your heart, you connect yourself to God. If you do it, blah, 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 there is no connection.
But it says in the Siddura that you must daven back every word and hear that you can hear it yourself. You mustn't shout, but it actually says that you must say every word so that you can hear it.
Yes.
Yourself.
By the way, this is we have to understand what it's all about. If you want to learn something and you want it to get into your mind, if you read it without pronouncing it, it's going to be very difficult to remember. But if you do the same thing, pronouncing the words, it will go into your mind. Mm-hmm. That's the way we are created. So this is also one of the reasons that you should pronounce the words of the tefillah in order to get it into your mind. And then you have a kavono, you have a connection to God, because the whole idea is to connect ourselves to God.
But that was the thing I was to say. You're not reading a novel, you're davening. Say each word.
Exactly.
Today I begin to do the katamanson in front of my grandchildren and my son from 6 years. He correct me each word.
Yes.
Then I say, wow, I do all the bracha
wrong
because I don't pronounce correctly.
Do you understand what you say?
No, I know, but I don't understand everything.
So you know there are things that you can do it in your own language.
But
certain
it's not the same. Like Teilim, I have in Portuguese, but it's not the same.
It's not a matter of not the same. Sometimes you do something and you don't understand it, you're better off say it understanding. Because you see, the idea is to connect. Can you connect if you don't understand what you're saying?
I know the importance of the bracha.
The question is, how do you connect better? Saying and understanding what you're saying, or saying something they don't understand?
Yes, but even the English I don't understand.
That's a different problem. That's a different problem. You see, the idea is very simple. The words have power, I must say. The Hebrew letters and the Hebrew words have power. But at the end of the day, we have to understand what is going to connect me the best way to God. If reading the letters and feeling the holiness, even if I don't understand, is going to connect me to God, do it. But if you don't feel connected, and only if you say it in a language that you understand, you will connect yourself to God.
But
connect yourself to God. But there are certain things that you have to do in Hebrew. Not everything you can say in your own language. Because certain things, because you have to understand the Hebrew letters are holy. And every combination has got a meaning.
That's why.
I'm saying. But so the best way is, as I always say, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. So in other words, if you're standing now davening in a minyan, and you know that you cannot go through the whole tefillah understanding what it's all about. So you choose yourself a part of the tefillah, learn it. Even if in Hebrew, you can read in Hebrew, for example, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You have to say it in Hebrew. What do you say? What is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Why do you understand it?
No, because
it was important to you. So you learned what's the meaning of the words. So now choose another thing and learn the meaning of the words. And then you can say it also in Hebrew words and understand what you say. Don't take everything. I'm always saying is, no, one of the mistakes that we do sometimes is we take on ourselves so much that at the end of the day we fall. That's not, you take small things. Step by step. That's the Ekev also. What is Ekev? Ekev is Akevot, is the heel, is walking. Step by step. Don't run. Do it step by step, because if you run, for example, one of the things is they tell us that our old sages, the tzaddikim, when they used to daven, they used to come an hour before and prepare themselves for davening. And you know, sometimes we don't understand what's the meaning of it. But you know when you understand it? You are going to daven and you are late. So you're running in order to get to the davening. And what happens when you go in? How do you daven? Quickly or slowly?
Quickly.
Why?
Catch catch up to everybody else.
Because you started it with running, and your action are being followed. Akev, ekev. You have to understand, when you do something, the things that are going to follow are going to be the same. So you have to stop. 1 minute. Stop. Calm down. Calm down. Slow down. Now daven. Sometimes even when you're in a rush, you come to the tefillah, even if they started, stop for a minute. Calm down. And now daven. And you will see there is a whole different davening. Because when you're doing it in a rush, you again, what do? Do you really connect? No, you do it because you have to do it. Because you want to do it, but you don't connect yourself. And the whole idea is the connection. If there is no connection, what's the idea of tefillah? Why does God want us to daven, to pray? Why?
He doesn't need it.
We need it. So why does he want us to do it? Because this is the way we connect to God. We have to feel God. How do we feel God? We talk with Him.
You know you are right, because there is a tefillah when from the Shema before going to sleep, that five lines that say that you are the only that knows every host that we have and every... And this I understand every word.
Bakasha.
And then I like to say these five lines because I know that is like He knows everything that is all our.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
This is what.
Yes.
And by
it makes the change.
Yeah, my own experience was like this. In the beginning, I didn't also understand anything. I knew how to read, but I didn't understand. Slowly, I begin to understand one word here, one word there.
Very good. So, if our achievement for today would be understanding and putting another, let's say, a few sentences of the tefillah or anything else, we already are blessed. As it's written here, we are going to get all those blessings, beautiful blessing, unbelievable blessing. This brings us to a different question. It looks like if we listen to God, we're going to get rewarded. But we always talk about it that you shouldn't worship God and do the mitzvahs because you're going to get rewarded. The idea is to worship God because you love God, not because you want to get rewarded. So what is the Torah really telling us? And if we go back to Parashat Ve'etchanan, the same story. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu pleading for God 550 times in order to get into Eretz Yisrael? So God, the Midrash says that God is asking him, what do you want? You want the reward for the mitzvahs that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael? I'm going to give you the reward. So I hear a drash of the Rav Shlomo Levinstein years ago. He says, 1 minute, boss. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to do the mitzvahs in order to get rewarded? This is strange. The Gemara says very clearly, Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'meshamshim et harav al menat lekabel pras. Don't be like slaves that serve their master in order to get rewarded. And this is against everything we learn. And in the Parsha also. So what's going on here? It's a very interesting that the Reb Chaim Volozhin says that God wants to give us. Why? One of the reasons is the neshama was sitting up in heaven enjoying everything for nothing. And the neshama got ashamed. You know, because it's not nice that you do nothing and you're being given everything. You know, you feel like abused a little. You know, I'm nothing. I know he gives me everything and I do nothing for it. It's not a good feeling. Especially if we're talking about neshama. So the neshama wanted to do something. So God created the whole world in order to put the neshama in a body. So the neshama can practice mitzvahs, and those mitzvahs are going to give her the reason that she did something to get this reward in heaven. In other words, doing the mitzvahs is not for the reward. Not to be, to feel ashamed that I do nothing and I just get everything. That's one perspective. But the big question is, do you get reward in this world?
No.
So what's the parasha talking about? The next world? It's very clearly that we're talking about this world. It's going to give you... So you do get rewarded. But, you know, on Shavuos, I was a part of a group of people that gave lectures in Kfar HaMakabiyah. It was very interesting, Yom Tov. And in my lecture, I said something, and afterwards, somebody came to me and says, "You changed my life." Okay, give a Rosh Hashanah. I changed your life. This saw this sound. I felt, says, "Who? Tell me, please, how did I change your life?" He says, "Till now, I had a problem with davening and praying and asking God for parnosa and this and." Because, you know, as we talked about, it's like it doesn't sound good. And what did I say? That let's imagine to ourselves somebody working in a high-tech company. And normally today, if you go into a high-tech company, they get such good conditions there that unbelievable. They have coffee machines everywhere and cakes and fruits and lunch and dinner and a gym and they have holidays and vacation and a car and all the best of the world.
Even a shoe.
So the question is this the salary?
No.
It's the conditions of work. The salary, in the end of the month, you're going to get. In other words, why do they give you all those facilities?
They want you to stay there and work.
Because if you have good conditions, you work better. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what we're talking about here. God is telling you, you want the good of this world as a reward? There is no reward in this world. But if you want good work conditions, prove to me that you use what I give you in a good way. In other words, God gives us work conditions for us to do the job in the best way. So if I'm using the tools in a good way, I'm going to get better conditions. It's not a reward. It's work condition. Now, says this guy, "You changed my life. Now I'm going to daven. I understand now what it's all about." And why? Because this way you understand and realize that God wants you to do the mitzvahs, and for this is going to give you all the tools that are good for you. Everybody needs different tools. Not everybody needs the same tools. But the idea is that yes, you can be rich, you can have a nice car, you can have good food, you can have all the good stuff of the world. As long as you use it in the right way. As long as you understand that it's not a reward, it's work condition. And this way it's also feel good about it, because you get good conditions, and at the end of the days when we go up, we want to check. And God is going to give us a big check. Here is your reward for all the good jobs you did, all those mitzvahs you did. In other words, whatever you get in this world is not going to influence your reward that is waiting for you, from one point of view. And the other point of view, it's nothing wrong with enjoying life here and getting all the good. But understand, when you daven to God, you don't ask for a reward. You ask for tools.
Good conditions.
Exactly. And this way, you can win both worlds.
And the good people that goes every day in shul and ask tzedakah and this, what condition?
You said two things that don't go together.
No.
You said poor people and you said those who come to ask for money in shul. It doesn't go together.
No.
I don't think that all those who come to ask for money in shul are poor. Some of them are very rich. If you see the car that is waiting for them in the next street, and if you see what they do in the rest of the day, you won't think that they are so poor.
So, who are we to judge them?
I don't say you judge them, but you said something, and I told you that it's not so simple. Not everybody that asks for money is poor. The same way as not everybody who's putting a hat in his head and has got a beard is a rabbi.
Yes.
It's the same thing, unfortunately. So in other words,
but
for example,
what are the good tools that they have,
You see, that's exactly the point. You see, we sometimes think, look what's written here. Here, you asked a very interesting question, and look at the answer. Now, ve'achalta ve'savata uverachta. Here is the mitzvah de'oraita. When you eat,
you have to bench.
You have to bench. And this is in Pasuk Yud, Perek, is it Perek Hei? Perek Chet.
Yeah.
Chet, I think. Ekev is Chet.
People go to the weddings, and they especially don't eat bread, then they don't have to bench. That's stupid.
That's what I think. It's stupid. First of all, it's a mitzvah. It's seudat mitzvah, and a seudah you do with bread. So they lose. The only person who is losing with this guy.
Which perek? Yud.
Perek chet.
Perek chet.
Eight. Perek eight. Perek chet. Perek eight.
Okay. In which
Yud. Pasuk Yud. Isheni, right before Sheni, in Eke. Yes, Chet. Got it? Yes, Sheni. Go to Sheni, it's a Pasuk before the end of Rishon. Yes. Ve'achalta ve'savata uverachta l'shem Elokecha. Here is written very clearly, this is the mitzvah d'oraita. When you eat, you should bless after you're eating. Berach ta'ar tzuvah she natan Hashem. Ishamer lecha. Be aware. Pen tishkach. Don't forget God. Levil tishmo and stop keeping the mitzvahs. Asher anochim etzavcha hayom. Pen tochal v'savuai. Pen, you will eat. You will be satisfied. You will build houses. And you will enjoy, and you will have a lot of cattle, and money you will have, silver and gold. And then what's going to happen? And you will feel you're on top of the world. And you will forget God. In other words, people don't understand, sometimes the test of poverty, it's much easier than the test of wealth. Why? Because when do you pray to God? When do you talk to God?
When you have problems.
Yes. When you've got everything, what do?
You forget.
Forget God. That's what the Torah is telling you. In other words, we don't understand why this guy is poor and this guy is rich. But what we have to understand is that if God did it this way, it's the best for this guy.
For both.
Of course. Everybody, every tool we get from God is from God, that is our Father in heaven, that loves us and wants only the good and the best for us. In other words, if He give me a tool, is it good or bad?
Good,
of course. Now it doesn't matter if this tool is $1,000,000 or it's $1, or it's being, let's say, a little poor, or being very rich.
Or even be healed.
Doesn't matter what. Whatever it is, if God gave it to you, and it's not if, God gave it to you. Is it good or bad? Yeah. So now we have to look and say, oh, why is this guy poor? We don't know. But God knows. Why did he do it this way? For example, we say, this is the famous question. Tzadik veralo, rasha vetovlo. A tzadik and he suffers, and a rasha and enjoys life. Is it really this way? If you start asking all those rich people, you will find out there's nobody satisfied. They're all disappointed.
Yeah. No, because they want more.
I say, last week, we learned about the parsha of Shema. And we say, now it's three things. So the simple explanation is b'chol levavcha is the heart, and yetzer hatov the yetzer hara, and b'chol nafshecha is your soul, your let's say not the neshama.
The nefesh.
It's the nefesh ha-be'emit. It's the soul. It's the it's the
nefesh ha-be'emit.
Yes, it's the how do you say it?
Animal soul.
Yes, it's like the lower part.